Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started and open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Today, we had four bills that were scheduled for either possible hearing and work session or work session on its own. It's my understanding two of the bills, Senate Bill 40, as well as Senate Bill 694, are not ready to move today. Senate Bill 40, we're waiting for the revenue and fiscal on that, and so what I'm going to do is go ahead and carry that one over till tomorrow. So 40 will be carried over until Wednesday, April 10th, and hopefully the paperwork will be here and we'll be able to move forward, and we are looking at the DAS 6 amendments, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
what we'll be looking at, so that's where people might want to focus on. Regarding 694, after review by one of the agencies, it appears that we need to have an additional wordage in an amendment. Basically, this is one that would actually hold not only people responsible for driving a vehicle that appears to be like a police vehicle, but also what we're saying is an imposter vehicle. And the concern with that is that individuals who work within agencies that are not sworn officers that actually drive the vehicles for either service or fleet work are not covered. No. And so we need to make certain that happens. So that's what we're waiting on. So that one there, I'm going to go ahead and set that one for next Tuesday when Mike's here regularly. And so that will be basically the 16th. So 694 is carried over until the 16th. And as I said, 40 will be carried over until tomorrow. All right. I think that takes care of the paperwork is what we need to do now. So let's go ahead and open up our first public hearing, which is going to be on Senate Bill 482. And why don't you give us a refresher?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 482 adds saliva to a list of fluids that are illegal to propel at public safety officers. There's a dash one amendment, which makes it clear that the illegal conduct would actually be if you propelled saliva and it came into physical contact with a public safety officer, so not just flinging it at, but actually landing on.
All right. So I've got two individuals who wanted to come up to testify. Brian, why don't you come up, and Greg Stahl.
Yep. For the record, Mr. Chair, Brian DeLeishmet, representing the Oregon Council of Police Associations and the Oregon State Police Officers Association, were in support of the bill and the Dash 1 amendments. I was aware that there was a Dash 2 that was an option, and we would oppose the Dash 2, but the bill with the Dash 1 is perfectly fine with us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Greg?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for having this hearing today. I work as a paramedic in Multnomah County. I'll be brief. Deal with a number of patients, many of whom are at various levels of intoxication and possibly being transported against their will. I have personally been spit upon a number of times. I would like to offer support for this bill. I think that it's would give me an extra tool to verbally convince people to not do such. In regards to the Dash 1 amendment, a quick question. In the contact, would that be skin contact or clothing contact?
Contact
in general.
Is contact.
Okay.
Whether it's you got clothes on or don't have clothes
okay.
on.
Okay, perfect. Fair enough.
On, I would think.
All right.
I would hope.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know.
If okay. they don't have clothes on, that's another violation.
It could be.
And lastly, I'd just like to say that in my line of work, a number of our EMTs and paramedics employed by private employers are often not extended the same protections and benefits as those employed by public providers providing substantially the same, doing substantially the same work. As I read this, it provides equal protection whether you're employed privately or publicly, and I thank you for that.
All right, thank you. All right, Gail?
I just squeezed up here.
Well, you're not on the list, but special privilege.
Thank you. Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee, Gail Maher on behalf of the Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. As between the two amendments, we prefer the Dash 1 over the Dash 2. The Dash 2 would have the uncomfortable effect of making relevant whether or not the defendant believed that they had a dangerous communicable disease, and that might be proven by things like sexual practices or IV drug use or something like that, and we wouldn't want the trial to devolve into something of that nature. So as between the two amendments, the dash one keeps it more confined.
Thank you. And I appreciate the comments. Questions for anyone on the panel?
Mr. Chair, may I just make a comment that this is the first time Gail and I have been on the exact same page in this session, so this is obviously a very good bill.
We love these kumbaya moments. That's okay. All I can say.
Thank you.
All right, so thank you all very much. So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and close, and let's see if anyone else wanted to give testimony on 482. Not, I'm going to close the public hearing on 482, and we do have the paperwork on 482. So I'm going to open the work session, and what I want to do is this. I want to point out we have received a fiscal impact statement regarding the dash ones. I question the accuracy of it, because it talks about increased cost in the Department of Corrections, and it talks about prison cost and special payments. The part of the bill that we're amending has nothing to do with what's already existing law. Existing law already covers saliva on corrections officers, and what we're doing is including at this point now for police officers. So the chair is inclined to move the dash ones and go ahead and move it to the floor, and then I will bring this up to the president's office attention so they know that we're moving this, but we think that the fiscal impact statement is inappropriate because it appears to be reporting costs that should have already been included in the budget based on that section already being current law. So does anyone have heartburn over that? Do we want to wait and let me talk to the president's office before we move it?
Mr. Chair, as I'm reading this, I think they're looking at the corrections cost being raised because there's going to be more people going into the correction system for this. And I mean, is this an aggravating factor, or?
This would make it a felony. It would make it a felony, but.
So I think their costs are based on the fact that there'll be more convictions and more people end up in prison.
Well,
it's a C, right?
It's a C felony. And looking at where the sentencing guidelines would run this through, I just don't see this.
No, Mr. Chair, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's the rationale behind the fiscal.
I have no heartburn, whichever way you go.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that if you make the motion and bring it to the president's attention, then it's his discretion.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do this. I think everyone's agreed that we're going to do the dash one. So the chair will move the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 482. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And Senator Close, if you're comfortable, why don't you go ahead and make the motion, and we'll go ahead and talk about it and put it on the record.
Okay. So you want it to the floor or to the president?
To the floor.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 482 as amended by the dash one amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close moves Senate Bill 482 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion, and the chair will lead off. Based on the fiscal impact of the proposed legislation, it shows that there's potential cost of $28,883 for the first biennium. It appears from my review of the fiscal and knowing how this will be ranked or how I expect that this will be ranked on the crime seriousness chart for sentencing guidelines, that it seems like that's providing for estimate of cost that just isn't going to occur. I just don't see an individual actually going to the state penitentiary for this offense in and of itself. Right. And that it's going to be based on other more, not this isn't serious, but much more serious aggravated crimes that's going to get them into the state prison system. But I will bring this up to the president's office so they will note, And what we'll do, I'll do that today. And if for some reason before signing the paperwork to send it to the floor, I will make sure that they're okay with us doing that. If not, it will still be in our possession, and then we can bring it back and reconsider the vote that we had.
Okay.
All right. So any further discussion? Any objections? So order. Chair will carry 482 if the president agrees that it can go to the floor. So we'll close the work session on 482, and that brings us to our last bill that we have on the agenda for today, since the other two have been set over. Our work session will be open on Senate Bill 70. And Mike?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 70 is talking about the sunset on a bill that was put in 2 years ago that would make any technical violations of probation a 60-day jail sentence rather than the presumptive 6 months jail sentence. So this was already put into the budget, and Senate Bill 70 would just extend that sunset to keep going forward on that. So technical violations of probation would still be 60 days jail.
All right. Senator Cruz.
How does this mesh with, I know this is an issue in your other group, so how does this mesh with that?
It meshes well, because this is part of the savings that we've already, let's say, started realizing, and what we know is that if we don't have this go forward, it's actually going to have an impact of
around 10,
8 to 10.
Okay, I understand that, but I guess I'm wondering, because you're looking at something bigger than this, I believe.
We are, yeah, we're looking at, I mean, through the packets that we're looking at potentially an additional $32 million that would be on the conservative side from what we have been told. The co-chairs discussed this particular bill, and it was agreed that we would go ahead and move this one forward,
okay,
not needing to put it or wrap it into the package. That we have enough that we're going to be working with. And this is one that the co-chairs felt that we needed to move forward, because if this one doesn't make it through, we're now looking at an additional gap of up to $10 million.
Okay. So this won't act in any way conflict with... Sometimes we do two similar things that bump into each other. So.
And I'm going to... This is interesting, because we have on this committee three members... of the Senate, four. And so what we are in a public hearing or work session, it is being publicly recorded. So what I would say is that we I'm trying to think what to capture for the record. This was built in knowing that this was going to be, with the continuation of the sunset, that it was going to allow for this additional savings to continue to be realized. That if we didn't do that, then we're going to have another gap of $10 million. And all I could say, I guess, for the individuals that are members that are on the committee with me, that are on this committee, I guess I'll take their input as feedback as to what they think based on public safety, but this is one that's been running independent, and that's why I didn't go into the committee on the Joint Committee on Public Safety, and that's why it actually started in our committee as our Senate Judiciary.
Comment.
Senator Close.
Mr. Chair, I support the $10 million savings. However, we did have some testimony that if you have these repeat technical violators, that can make, you know, the community less safe. One thing we could do would be to amend it and put another two-year extension on the sunset, go to 2015. Get around with that.
I'm okay with it as it is, and I think it is separate from what we're doing in the other bill.
Okay. Well, I think we've got the motion in front of us at this point. Or no, we don't. We don't. We haven't put the motion up there. I'm fine with moving it as it is. And the thing is, we're going to have a check and balance when it goes to the House. And if the House thinks that we need to, let's say, expand or extend a sunset and keeping a sunset in place, I'd like to let them go ahead and deal with that. And that way, I'm just thinking what we've got on our plate right now, I'd rather move this as it is, and then we'll let Chair Barker, who's actually part of the committee, the Joint Public Safety Committee, to have his opportunity to take any input on the House side. So if that's okay, Senator Close?
Yes.
Then Chair would take a motion for, this is going to be just the bill itself with no modifications.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 70 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close moves Senate Bill 70 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And does someone want to carry the bill? If not, I'll carry it, but give my members an opportunity if they want. The chair will carry Senate Bill 70. And with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 70. And just for the record, again, for those who may have come in late, we have two bills that we had scheduled for today, but they're not ready to move forward. Senate Bill 40 has been set over and carried over until tomorrow. And the reason for that is that we do not have the necessary paperwork for the amendments, meaning the fiscal and the revenue, to actually work the bill, to move the bill forward. We will be looking at the Dash 6 amendments, is what has been agreed upon by the various parties that have been involved in this. And regarding Senate Bill 694, we have carried that one over until next Tuesday, April 16th. And that is because we have some additional verbiage that needs to be put into an amendment to capture individuals who are staff personnel that actually move or transport patrol vehicles that are not sworn officers in their jobs as doing maintenance and fleet work, et cetera. Any other? Yes.
Question on that one. Would that also include, sometimes police forces give these cars to people that go out and check on handicap parking and that kind of stuff?
Well, there,
they stay there. I mean, they change them some, but I don't think they change them completely.
Those are usually different vehicles.
Okay.
I mean, in my work, like with Florence, they have a unit that is an old police car that has different light bars that is marked as volunteer.
That's true.
On there. And I know an EPD, meaning Eugene Police Department, they have the same program. I don't believe there's a department that I know of, at least, that actually would allow a non-commissioned certified officer to use a police vehicle for enforcement purposes.
Okay.
As compared to running them from, let's say, to a garage to do work on them and stuff like that. Okay? All right, anything else that we need to do? So tomorrow, oh, there's one other thing we should talk about. We've now done our postings for the rest of the Senate bills that we have up through the 18th. I talked to staff yesterday, but I did not ask them directly as to whether we needed to move to 8 o'clock on any of these days. At this point, tomorrow will be 8:30, but please be aware we may need to go this following week earlier. We'll try to be convenient for everyone. All righty?
Okay.
Thank you very much, and we're adjourned.